Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the podcast. This is indeed the Compound Interests podcast, and I am John Najarian of Market Rebellion. Today, I had the great pleasure of sitting down with David Mishry. David is the CEO of Mullen Technologies. It's a California-based manufacturer and distributor of electronic vehicles. And I think you'll be pretty excited to hear about what is happening with Mullen right now. I also am disclosing to you that I am a board member for NetElement. That's N-E-T-E, NASDAQ-listed stock, N-E-T-E. I've been a board member there, I think, coming up on 3 years now. And NetElement is in the process of doing due diligence with Mullen to do a merger with the company, spinning off our payments business and merging with Mullen on the EV side. So you'll hear Oleg Firer. He is the CEO of NetElement, and you'll hear us talking with David of Mullen Technologies about exactly how did this merger come about. It is not completed yet, but in full disclosure, I wanted you guys to know that the press releases are out there. So I'm not speaking out of school when I say that this is something that we are in discussion with Mullen about and pretty excited about. And I think when you see the EVs and the potential for not just their supercars, because yeah, they make these supercars that you'll see at the Geneva Auto Show or the New York Auto Show, and they look like any of the multi-hundred-thousand-dollar or even multi-million-dollar supercars, but they only make a couple hundred of those. And they are EV, electronic vehicles. But the technology and what they've learned from making those is why we're excited about the SUVs and other vehicles that Mullen will be making in the future. They've secured a plant here in the United States. Can't say where yet, but they've secured that plant. They have 8 dealerships out in California and one that's just opening in Arizona. So this is a pretty exciting company, and I want you to listen and or watch the discussion that we have between David, Oleg, and myself about this potential merger that is out there right now, and that is between NetElement and Mullen Technologies. Have a listen.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good.
Great to speak to you this morning.
Oh, yeah. Well, Oleg, like I say, it was exciting that, NetElement's had some great growth from 2014 all the way through 2018. Started slow a little in 2019, and then all of a sudden we have COVID. But a great opportunity presents itself because the NetElement management team got together and spoke with David's company, Mullen, and it seems that a reverse merger with Mullen might just be something that was the best thing for both companies. So if you wouldn't mind, maybe explain why that was a great alternative for both David's company, Mullen, and NetElement.
Thank you, John. First of all, payments business is a good business. It's a recurring revenue business. All of our revenues have been recurring to date. However, with the COVID-19 hitting us, as you know, a lot of the merchants stopped accepting credit cards because only by mere example, they've been closed. They've been closed for now 3 months, and that's going to impact our revenues. In addition, payments companies don't get the valuations that they deserve in the public space today. We have tried to create value for our shareholders, and looking to strategic opportunities with companies such as Mullen allowed us an ability to explore value creation for our shareholders. We have looked at more than a dozen of companies throughout the past 3 months since we announced that we're going to be seeking strategic opportunities for the company, and we fell in love with Mullen. Mullen is in the right space. They're an electric vehicle manufacturer with some of the hot technologies that David will explain. They're not a startup. They were founded in 2014, which in my belief, puts them ahead of some of the competitors that are in the market today.
Absolutely. And folks, I just want to share one couple quick slides with you. So if you'll indulge me, I'm going to put up some of those pictures if I could. Let's see here. I'll share this one. Present it. All right. We should be seeing that. That is the K50, the Dragonfly. That is a relatively small production, but a very cool vehicle because it helps pay for a lot of the development of other things that David will doubtless tell us about. There it is at the New York Auto Show in 2019. Gorgeous looking vehicle. You know, it looks an awful lot like the Audi. It also looks like many of the supercars that you see out there on the streets. And that's what a lot of the folks that have written about it have said about the K50, the Dragonfly. And there's one of the electric prototypes for the SUV. So with this said, I think seeing those is pretty cool. And knowing that, as Oleg said, there are about 1,000 vehicles on the street already. Mullen is going to be building a plant in the Midwest, but without stealing his thunder, let me let David explain a little bit about where Mullen is, history of it, and I think then we can all kind of discuss some of the potential for these great vehicles and of this merger. So, David, please.
Thank you, John. So, Mullen is a unique company. Been around for a little bit. We're well positioned in the space to take a significant market share for a multitude of reasons. However, there are four key factors that I'd like to talk about that'll drive sales and in turn create tremendous shareholder value. One, cost structure. Our development costs and production overhead are much lower than most EV startups, our traditional OEMs. And why? This is because Mullen was able to curve the cost of development, research, production, and utilizing existing infrastructures that are available to us, as well as IP that we can take advantage of and utilize a lot of their homologation and their specific traits that allow us to implement some of those attributes into our product, meaning cutting the time frame and the risk to launch. We looked at expectation, managing that was important, and managing the risk. And in doing so, I couldn't wrap my arms or my hands around spending $3 or $4 billion to get a car into the market space. We wanted to figure out a way to be competitive, cut our costs, build a quality product, build it here in America, build it by Americans, which was important to us. And more importantly, do it with pride and integrity. So we were able to do that by locating a factory in the United States that was prepped for our platform vehicle that we're building. And that allowed us to cut the costs. More importantly, allowed us to cut the time involved in getting a car into the marketplace. So let's look at today's landscape. There's a lot of guys out there. Nikola is one of them that came out and said that they were going to build these hydrogen vehicles and subsequently went into a public vehicle and had a tremendous amount of interest. Based on that interest, we looked at it and we said, well, listen, we got an existing vehicle. We got experience. We got history. We have a distribution channel that we've developed over the last several years where we sell vehicles. One of the biggest questions that anybody has when it comes to a beautifully designed vehicle is how are you going to sell it? right? Anybody can make a sexy, gorgeous car. How are you going to sell it? Then the next question is, how are you going to service it? And ultimately, the most important question, what happens if there's a warranty or a recall? How do you deal with that? So we took all of that into consideration when we decided that we were going to introduce our vehicles into the marketplace. We thought that we needed to answer the most important question, which is being able to give the consumer a place to go buy that vehicle, give them that experience, and then give them the assurance that the vehicle will be serviced. There's a place that you can go to if you have an issue and not have to sit and wait 2 or 3 months to get a part or wait a month to get into a regional service center. We wanted to create a distribution channel for our product that would provide the basis of what all of the OEMs currently today have, and that's the ability to drive right up to that facility and get immediate attention on any problem that you might have. And we think we've accomplished that. We have currently 9 stores, 8 in California, which comprises 75% of all electric vehicle sales that occur in the United States. And we just opened our store outside of California in Arizona, which is our first store outside of the state. And we continue to expand that outward. We feel that we're positioned to get our product in the marketplace, to support it, to service it, as well as being able to give the consumer that experience that that they get from the OEMs, meaning your Fords, your GMs, your Mercedes, your BMWs, all the guys that have that type of infrastructure that allows a consumer to have confidence when they go and buy that product. That's really what we focused on. The plant, being able to produce the car here in the United States, being able to find a facility that is tailored for our platform was great. Being able to have IP that we can act on now, not tomorrow, meaning 4 or 5 years down the road, but can have a start of production in the third quarter of 2021 and start to deliver cars at the end of the fourth quarter in 21. That's leaps and bounds ahead of anybody else in the space. So from that perspective, we're very confident in what we're doing. We've been around for a long time. We feel that the timing is right for us, and we're gonna jump in with our product and our plan, and we're gonna see what we can do.
Well, David, obviously, there are a lot of parallels to what you're doing and what Elon Musk did over with Tesla. I mean, he took over that Saturn plant out there in California that GM had abandoned, and he bought it for pennies on the dollar and basically turned that into his production facility for, at first, of course, I think it was the Lotus Elise or something like that, as I recall, basically the shell, if you will, you know, absent the engine, it was that body of that Lotus automobile that then was, you know, fitted out with his electric engine, with the battery packs and all the rest. And that was their first production vehicle. Even though, of course, they don't produce the Lotus, Lotus Motors did. And then they just took those shells and slapped their components into it. But the fact that Tesla is now, you know, it last week it closed over $1,000, I think, for the first time ever. It's traded through 1,000 several times now and is basically this much, you know, just a couple bucks below $1,000 a share and about $185 billion company. That's one of the reasons that Oleg got so excited about doing something with Mullen, is not just that everybody'd like to have that magic in a bottle, lightning in a bottle that Elon Musk has, but having this and you identifying California is where we are because that's where 75% of the sales are. You grow it across the country, but you got to start with some place where the demand is high because of the commuter, benefits to driving that EV. I mean, it's not just the cost of petrol out there in California. It's the fact that if you're driving a true EV, you also get a better lane to drive in, right, Dave?
Absolutely correct. I mean, Elon's done a great job. I think that he's proven, he's built the market, and he's opened the door for guys like myself to get in there and to try to do some good things. I'm very proud of the things that Tesla has done. I think without an Elon Musk in the world, there wouldn't be a David Mishry, there wouldn't be an RJ at Rivian. I think everybody owes a lot to Elon for giving us the opportunity to follow in his footsteps. I mean, great company, $185 billion market cap. I mean, market cap greater than the market cap of Ford and GM put together. I mean, my hat off to him. I mean, I would love to build this company and follow in their footsteps and be happy with the 5% of the market share. 5% of that market share would be a very big number.
Well, and David, I think, and I'm speaking, of course, as a board member, but also as a shareholder of NetElement, N-E-T-E, but the potential, as it was being discussed through a press release that the due diligence was being done between the two companies, the stock virtually quadrupled on that potential. So if I can switch just for a second, Oleg, that had to be pretty much an endorsement of your view of the potential for David's company, right?
Exactly. As I said, it's a very interesting industry. It's a hot space right now, without a doubt. Also, some of the other stuff that Mullen is doing, which are exciting as well. Mullen has addressed the need in the COVID-19 space with the personal protective equipment, with COVID testing, with the ventilators that they're producing. So they're addressing a lot of interesting verticals in addition to EV. They also own a series of retail stores, which is Mullen Auto Sales and Car Hub and other stuff that I'm sure David will elaborate on. But it's an exciting space, and I believe that Mullen is addressing the need in multiple verticals that they're in. And the price per share is obviously a testament to the fact that we're moving in the right direction.
Exactly. And David, the business units that you guys have, I mean, we know that you're focused in like a laser, even though I showed the really sexy cars. I think all three shots that I showed of two different vehicles are very cool. But clearly the Dragonfly or that K50, that's a beautiful vehicle. But really what drives the company, what drives Mullen is that SUV, because that is where you're going to get mass production. You're not talking about 200 or 300 vehicles when you're looking at that one. You're talking about, you know, multiple 10,000 production of those, that first SUV that you would produce. What is the greatest potential for growth among the business units that you're looking at right now?
Definitely. It would probably be the SUV and then our solid state polymer battery technology that we're very aggressive in developing. The SUV, along with this factory that we opened escrow several months on, located somewhere in the United States, I'm not going to say exactly where, but somewhere in the U.S., has a production capacity of 50,000 vehicles per year. And believe me, we're going to use every bit of that. This SUV is sexy. It uses conventional chemistry today, which gives it about a 300 mile per range on a charge. And it's pretty fast. It's sub threes, 0-60. And it handles amazing. The vehicle, the SUV, will start production on that vehicle in the second quarter of 21. And we'll start to deliver some of those cars by the end of 21 and then going into full production in 22, where we will see thousands and thousands of these SUVs hit the market. And subsequently, we'll get to that 50,000 number per year pretty quickly. Again, the focus is high volume production and creating a quality car at a very affordable price. And we're mitigating that risk to launch by keeping our costs down. We're being fiscally responsible, as we should. And again, I'm going to reiterate, we're focused on putting Americans back to work in America. That's really the basis of this factory and what we want to do. We want to get that pride and ownership and that pride in building stuff with our hands here in America. So that's exciting. We also
I know you've got a surprise for us, because when we were talking just before we came on for the broadcast, I know that big thing sitting in front of you on the table is something that we'd like to see. If you wouldn't mind showing it, I don't think we're going to blow your intellectual property with that, are we?
Oh, of course not. But I'll give you a little tidbit here. Mullen has been aggressive, obviously, as everyone else in the space, and trying to get to the next paradigm shift in the battery space. And it's important, because conventional chemistry can only go so far. And I think a lot of the EV companies, including ourselves, have hit that wall on range. And it's going to take a different direction as far as chemistry in order to achieve the type of numbers that we would need to get rid of range anxiety. And I think the direction is obviously solid state, specifically a solid state polymer battery. Right here in my hands is a solid-state polymer battery. This right here is, we rated it at 300 amp hours. When we had it tested here in the U.S., it tested at 343 amp hours at 4.1 volts. Can you imagine? I'm like holding it right here in my hand. So not only is solid-state polymer a much safer chemistry, you can put a torch to it, it won't ignite. You can submerge it in salt water and nothing will happen. You can shoot it with a gun. It's safe. It's not considered dangerous goods. And the beauty about it is you get a lot more power for the dollar. And the equivalent, on an equivalent basis of 150 kilowatt hours, you use a lot less space, get a lot more energy, which translates to a lot more range. And you put yourself in a position where you can now have the consumer feel comfortable going from point A to point B without having that massive range anxiety. And you make cross-country travel possible. We're rating our 150 kilowatt hour equivalent at 640 miles of range on a single charge. So within several years, we'll be able to execute on the delivery of a solid-state polymer battery at the commercial level into our vehicles, and we'll be able to get you from point A to point B on a single charge, a 640-mile range, which is, you know, off the charts in my opinion. And from a recharging perspective, you could charge 200 miles of range in about 10 minutes. So it makes recharging very fast as well. So these are the things that we look at going into the future, and we look at how we can address some of the issues with range anxiety, address how do we cut costs, increase efficiency, and some of those solutions all lead right back to solid-state polymer. So there you go.
That's all cool stuff. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
Oleg, when we're talking at the board level, and you know, you and I won't disclose what we say in those board meetings, but we can talk about what was in the press release, Oleg, as far as how excited we were about the potential with Mullen. Do you think we could see similar multiples to other public EV companies, whether it's Tesla or NIO or Nikola, whether it's any of those, for a company that's producing, mass producing, and owns a lot of IP like Mullen does, that's a pretty exciting thing, isn't it?
Right, and as you said, IP. The company has 15 patents or patents pending related to electric vehicles, such as batteries and stuff, and it's not a startup. So my expectation is that we'll exceed the multiples that are currently in the marketplace, because the fact it's not a startup, it's been around since 2014, and they're mass producing vehicles. They mass produced the previous model. There's over 1,000 vehicles on the street that's being serviced by Moen. They have a distribution channel. So they have the recipe for success. It's not just a manufacturer. They have distribution, they have marketing, support, and IP.
Yeah, and obviously, just as David has already acknowledged, the fact that Mr. Musk has paved the road, you know, and the pun is intended, but he's done a lot of that for all of the EV companies, but in particular, a company like Mullen, which as opposed to NIO and so forth, all Chinese, this is a company that is building the vehicles in the United States. This is a company that's putting Americans to work and then supplying them into the biggest market for those EVs right now, and then hopefully very prudently rolling that out across the country as production ramps up. That's what we're all excited about as board members, David, and as Oleg is the CEO of the company, I think NetElement, you know, we're chomping at the bit to get this thing rolling.
Well, we're excited as well. You know, one topic we didn't hit on is our executive leadership. And one of the things that I wanted to make sure was that we had no weak links. I tell people all the time, I'm the dumbest guy in the room. I let all the engineers and scientists be engineers and scientists. And I know where to walk and not to walk. And one of the things that we've done are, as a team, went out and got great people. And from our manufacturing, our head of manufacturing and our CEO of our automotive division is an individual by the name of Kellen Pope, a tremendous background, built a lot of big, gigantic factories for Chrysler, for Ford, for GM, most recently built the plant for Karma in Moreno Valley. So it's a lot of experience, and he's been with us for several years working on our facility and our plan. Got a great engineering team, work with some great professionals at the OEM level, great strategic relationships on a global level. We got people that work for Mullen stationed in major OEMs overseas in Europe. Not going to get into specifics, but we think that our executive leadership, our engineering, our manufacturing, our team that leads us at the corporate level from a audit perspective, our CFO is a stellar individual, used to be a Deloitte auditor, controller for 2,000 banks for Key Corp. Just across the board, up and down this team, we got great professionals, and it takes that in order to get the job done. It's not just someone with a dream and a picture of a car and a maybe a pipe dream, but a reality, right? So let's go out and actually execute and deliver. And I think we've done that over the last several years. We've been able to demonstrate that.
Beautiful. Well, David and Oleg, thank you both very much. I applaud you, David, for helping out with those ventilators. Because I know when that was in big demand, and hopefully it won't be in as big a demand going forward, but certainly stepping into the breach and helping out there is valuable for Americans. And I really look forward to having another EV other than Tesla made right here and with a bunch of great folks that you've put together, assembled on the team. Oleg, I appreciate your time today. I know you're overseas right now, but I really appreciate both of you coming on with me. So thank you very much. I wish you a lot of luck. And of course, I wish the team, all of us, luck in finishing this deal.
Thank you, John, for having us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.